Hello, it is Sunday, October 17th, and time for the UFC Vegas 40 post-fight show. Main event, Aspen Ladd lost a decision to Norman Dumont in a featherweight fight. Featherweight fight, I might add, that I still don't think Ladd should have been competing in, but UFC saw fit to reward her, in my opinion, for missing weight. They didn't have to offer the fight to her, but they did, and so it'll always look to me as a reward for missing weight for her 2 weeks ago Macy Chason fight that was scheduled for bantamweight. Anyway, on with the fights and my take on what went down on Saturday night at the UFC Apex. Ariane Carnelessi looked okay. She used her strength and aggression to score a third round submission win over Estela Nunes. Wasn't pretty. It was effective. More or less, Carnelessi just rushed forward with wide swinging strikes to get in close and push her opponent up against the octagon. And then once she got to the mat, she was able to get the submission with no problem. There's no doubt that Carnelessi is a very strong fighter. The problem with her is, though, that her style is reckless. A fighter who is more experienced and willing to stand and plant their feet when Carnelessi rushes in with those wide strikes will find success with counters. They can jab at her as she rushes in. That's going to stop her dead in her tracks. Nunes did not have that style, and so she more or less accepted where the fight took place, and that cost her. Had she been a little more confident, a little better of an all-around fighter, she might have had success here. But as it stands, Carnelessi gets the win, moves on. I don't see a big upside with her, at least not in her current state. She needs to work a lot on her style and technique if she plans on moving forward in the division. But no doubt that she's strong and powerful and can get things done when she's allowed to fight her style of a fight, for sure. Dana Baccaro, he won fight of the night in his UFC debut in a losing effort. Since then, he scored three first-round knockout wins. Stopped Brandon Davis at 201, and he might be ready to move up in the bantamweight division. He's been buried pretty low on the prelims for some reason, for someone who's looking pretty good and getting some pretty spectacular knockouts. I don't really understand why the UFC is kind of reluctant to move him up, but I think in his next fight we might see him move up in the on the card and definitely move up in the pecking order in the bantamweight division. I think he's ready to be, given a little bit of a test. As a favorite to win this, so maybe match him up with a pick'em fight. But he's looked good, looked powerful, and definitely a good striker, and definitely someone you're going to want to catch his next fight. Danny Roberts was a big underdog to Ramazan Ameev. He scored the upset win on Saturday, and that might have been thanks to its coaching staff telling him to up the aggression after the first round. The first round was kind of lackadaisical. Neither fighter seemed too interested in pushing the action. Ameev is kind of the guy who will take you down and hold you down and kind of grind a win out, if you will let him. Roberts kind of fell into that style of fight in the first round, maybe just because he's been out of the cage for so long. He was kind of accepting of how the things were going, but he listened to his coaching staff and definitely upped his aggression. And I think that is what won him the fight. Just the appearance of the aggression might have been enough to win him the fight here. But he got that win, and he's eager to get back in the octagon after nearly 2 years outside. So, confidence builder and something to grow on for Danny Roberts. Ameev showed no sense of urgency in his fight against Roberts. He was just happy to get the takedown, keep the fight on the ground, kind of grind it out. And that lack of aggression and that lack of urgency is what probably prevented him from getting the win here. He's not a bad fighter, but you're not going to find many people who are going to say, I need to see Ami fight. It's a can't miss contest. That's not the case. He really needs to up his aggression, maybe incorporate some ground striking into his heavy ground game, maybe be a little more aggressive on the feet. He just seems too easygoing in there, and I think that will cost him because an opponent is just going to have to seem to be more aggressive and seem to be putting out a higher striking rate and striking more than Ameev to get to win. He's just not aggressive, and it's not good enough to be just a takedown and hold down fighter in 2021. It's just not. Bruno Silva spent much of the first two rounds on the mat against Andrew Sanchez. The bad thing was that was that he was getting handled on the ground by Sanchez. The good thing we found out in the third round was that Sanchez was using a lot more energy than Silva. So when the third round came around, Silva was still, I wouldn't say fresh, but fresher than Sanchez. And that allowed him to open up with striking, especially body strikes. And Sanchez tried to stay in there, but he just did not have the energy. Now, Silva kind of gassed out too, but he was able to regroup and get back on his horse and start striking again after a couple seconds of, you know, taking some breaths and refocusing. Sanchez did not have that ability here in the third round. Good wrestler, Sanchez is, but he's just not built for three rounds of hard action. And Silva took advantage of that and got the come from behind stoppage win. I don't know what the UFC is going to do with Andrew Sanchez. He's a good fighter, but he's got cardio problems, and if he doesn't get it done early, or he has an opponent like Silva here, he has a tendency to fail in the third round. So Sanchez has some work to do. Silva has to improve his takedown defense and ground game, but his cardio held up, and that's what got him the win. Nate Landwehr was he was the biggest underdog on the fight card to Ludovic Klein, and I didn't understand that. I'm kind of on the Landwehr bagwagon in that he's an exciting fighter. He's not a technical fighter by any means, but he's got a lot of fight in him. He's a dirty, gritty, nasty kind of fighter who you're going to really have to try and get out of there if you're going to beat him. Klein is the exact opposite of that. He's more technical, more cerebral, and he did not seem to be interested in fighting Landwehr's kind of fight, and that is what afforded Landwehr the opportunity to get the finish here. He just outworked Klein. I kind of got the feeling that Klein was broken by the time the third round rolled around and the submission came, and that he just did not want to be in a fight the style that Landwehr was giving him, or in anymore to be in the fight at all with Landwehr. So it was a big red flag for Klein, and a sign that if you're fighting him in the future, you want to make it dirty, you want to make it aggressive, you want to make it gritty, you don't want to allow him to style on you. You push him, you fight in close, and you just make it nasty. And that's what Landwehr did. And a good win for Nate Landwehr. As always, good work on the mic from Nate Landwehr. And he might not be someone that's ever going to fight for a UFC title, but he is someone you're going to want to watch every time he steps into the octagon. I just like the way Nate Landwehr fights. Manon Fior was a big favorite to beat Mayra Buena Silva, and she did that. And she did that with combinations and high output. But what she also did was not change up those combinations and did not change up her timing, did not change up her movement. Everything was kind of scripted, and she just kind of fought, you know, do a 1-2-3, occasionally throwing a takedown, 1-2-3, occasionally throwing a kick. A good fighter with good coaching would have been able to time that a lot better and counter a lot better. Silva was not able to do that. Fiore looked good. Looks like she might have a bit of an upside, but she is not ready for top 15 competition yet. She definitely needs some work in mixing up her striking techniques, mixing up her striking targets, and mixing up her timing and movement. She's easy to figure out, and that's a knock. But again, she's still pretty fresh in her UFC career, so she has the opportunity to move up. And hopefully, if she's coachable, we will see some difference in her next fight. So Fiore's definitely someone to watch for, and definitely someone you want to check out her next fight. Jim Miller. Jim Miller has been with the UFC since 2008. And if you know anything about Jim Miller, his goal is to not go to decision. He's a finish or be finished kind of fighter. He likes those kind of fights. He excels in those kind of fights. And Eric Gonzalez gave him that kind of fight on Saturday. And Miller was on the winning side of that and got himself another bonus. I think his 14th finish in the UFC and his 13th fight night bonus, if I'm correct. So Miller wants to fight 40 fights in the UFC. That was his 38th, so I don't see that as a problem. He also wants to fight at UFC 300 and become the only fighter to fight at UFC 100, 200, and 300. That's questionable under the new UFC ownership regime, at least. I think if it's Jim Miller under the former UFC ownership group with Joe Silva in there as the matchmaker, that Miller would be almost a lock to fight at UFC 300 just because of how he worked with the UFC, was never a fighter to turn down a fight, was never a fighter to drop out of a fight until he got COVID this year. Well, I think that was the first time he dropped out of a fight in his UFC career. Jim Miller has always been the kind of guy the UFC wants. If I was the UFC, I would hold Jim Miller up as a blueprint on how to be a long-term UFC fighter who never got a title fight. He just went in there, went for the finish. I'm sorry, he just goes in there, goes for the finish. If he gets finished in the process, at least he knows he gave his all in pursuing a finish. And that's the kind of fighter the UFC should be holding up as an example of, this is what you want to do if you want to be a long-term UFC fighter. Miller's never fought for the title, probably is never going to fight for the title, but he has 38 UFC fights, and there's a reason for that. There's a big reason for that, and it's his style of fighting. So fans should take note, fighters should take note. Jim Miller is a good fighter and always fights for the finish. Andrei Arlovski had a good first two rounds against Carlos Felipe. He used his kicks to keep Felipe away, and then he used those kicks also to set up a kind of a bull rush in with strikes when Felipe got kind of when he wasn't expecting those strikes. It was a good style. It became repetitive over the first two rounds. It also tired Arlovski out over the first two rounds. Some of the scary things I saw with Arlovski was how he would duck into when he would really duck from the waist to avoid the strikes from Felipe, and Felipe was not really able to time that ducking well, but it was noticeable that it was coming. So if Felipe would have faked high and gone low with an uppercut or even a big hook, he probably could have caught Arlovski and put him away, or at least hurt him badly. That didn't happen. What happened was Arlovski pulled ahead in the first 10 minutes. Felipe probably had a chance in the final 5 minutes when Arlovski was starting to gas. However, Felipe was more interested in posing and playing to the crowd and to the cameras, and that probably cost him a good chance at winning this fight. If Felipe was more concentrated, more aggressive, and focused on finishing things, he might have got a win here. So a lesson for sure for Carlos Felipe to take away from this performance in the heavyweight division. Norma Dumont was not exciting, but she kind of set up here a blueprint for everyone to follow that is going to fight Aspen Ladd. And that blueprint is patience, fight behind your jab, and keep the fight from hitting the mat. And if it does hit the mat, Preferably it hits it late in the round, and you can fight off the ground and pound that lat is going to bring, which is what Dumont did, and that's how she got the win. So there's not a lot to say other than there's the blueprint. You make Aspen Ladd uncomfortable. Make her fight on her feet. Don't get overly aggressive. Pick her apart with your jab because her head movement is kind of bad. And do your best to stay off the mat. And you're going to beat Aspen Ladd. And so a good win for Dumont. Not an exciting win, like I said, but a good win. And she'll move on. Aspen Ladd, I don't know what she was doing. And here she didn't seem to be able to kick it into another gear and reconfigure her attack. And her coach didn't help her. All he did was yell and say she had to fight better, maybe throw more than one punch and go for the finish. That's not technical coaching. That's just advice and not giving any coaching to get to that. Yeah, every fighter knows that they can't fight behind one punch. Every fighter knows that they're falling behind when they're falling behind. Every fighter knows that when they're going into the fifth round and they've lost probably three or four of those rounds, they need a finish. The coach's job is to give the fighter an idea how to get there, not wonder what they're doing and then offer them advice that anyone could offer them. If that's coaching in the UFC, Aspen Ladd needs a better coach. Aspen Ladd lost this fight because of her style. Her coach did not help her win the fight or even get back in the fight. But he didn't offer any solid advice other than throw more strikes. Well, shit, I could offer that advice. I also could have offered more advice than that just by watching from the outside. But he didn't do that. So it was a bad coaching job. It was a bad performance from Ladd. She showed a lack of urgency, a lack of fight IQ, a lack of an ability to reconfigure her technique and her attack during the fight. And it was an all-around failure for Ladd's team here. Dumont's team game planned well, got her the win. We don't know how Dumont would have fought had Ladd changed up her plan, because she didn't. So Dumont, congrats to her and her team for being ready. And I don't know what to say about Ladd and her team. They were not ready, and it showed. And I would not be surprised at all if this fight cost Ladd her a bit of her standing in the bantamweight division. She was a number three ranked fighter going into this in the bantamweight division. If I was voting on the UFC official rankings, I would drop her at least one spot, because it was that kind of performance. It was a performance that exposed every weakness that Ladd had and showed none of her strength except for the brief time she was on the ground and landing ground and pound. Other than that, Ladd pretty much got shut out in this fight. And a lot of that blame has to go to her coaching staff for not telling her how to fix the hole, how to get out of the hole she had dug herself into. So bad performance from Ladd and her team, a solid performance from Dumont. And that's a wrap on what I saw from UFC Vegas 40. Not the best card, and I'll cover that in the 5 unanswered questions coming up. Hello, it is time for 5 unanswered questions from UFC Vegas 40. Fight card took place on Saturday from UFC Apex in Las Vegas. In the main event, Norma Dumont beat Aspen Ladd by decision. And here are the 5 unanswered questions I have from the event. First one is, should Aspen Ladd get a new coach? If you saw the fight, Ladd's coach, Jim West, was not the best at delivering good messaging to his fighter during the fight. Ladd was having trouble with getting the fight to a place where she wanted it to be, and West was not helping her. She came back to the corner, and his advice, help was to ask her what she was doing out there, and then telling her that she needed to punch more than one time, and then that she needed a finish. And he did so in a pretty loud, in-your-face kind of way. Misha Tate equated the West style to abuse. Well, I won't go that far because I don't know the relationship and how Ladd needs to be motivated. Some fighters need motivation in different ways. Sometimes you need to scream at a fighter to get them motivated to get your message across. So my problem isn't so much with what West was doing, but with what he did after he got her attention. He told her that she needed to punch more than once. Yeah, every fighter knows that they need to do that. He told her that she needed the finish. Well, if she was cognizant of how the fight was going, she already knew that she needed the finish. What he didn't tell her was how to get there, what to do. He didn't offer her any advice that she could actually implement in the fight, and that's where my problem is. If you're coaching a top-notch fighter in the UFC, someone who's competing in a main event, your advice should be better than do better. And that's pretty much the advice that Wes gave Ladd. You know, go out there and win. Well, no shit. If that's the best you're going to do as a coach, you're not a very good coach. So if you want to see what a good coach does, go back to last week and watch how Jason Perillo handled Mackenzie Dern in between rounds. Yes, Dern was struggling, and Perillo addressed the issues, gave her real advice on how to improve her chances of winning, and let her go out there and implement it. West did nothing of the kind. He just yelled, berated his fighter, and then sent her out there with no advice. So as coaches go, a failure. And I would say, looking at this in a vacuum, I would say Ladd probably should invest in different coaches. At least, you know, go out and pick up some other looks and see, maybe a gym switch is in the cards for Aspen Ladd. Question number two is, will Jim Miller fight at UFC 300? Miller fought in his 38th fight at UFC Vegas 40. He won. He knocked out Eric Gonzalez, picked up his 13th fight night bonus, which is sixth all time in the UFC. So not bad there. He's 38 years old. Said he wants to, one of his initial goals was to get 40 fights in the UFC. Barring anything spectacular, that goal will probably be realized in 2022. For Miller, probably early 2022 if he has his way, because he's someone who likes to fight. And as he said in the post-fight interview with Michael Bisping, someone who likes to get paid to fight. And if you know, you don't get paid if you don't fight in the UFC. So I expect Miller to try and get as many fights as he can. And then he said his next big goal is to fight at UFC 300. If he realizes that goal, he will be the only fighter, barring Brock Lesnar returning, because he and Lesnar are the only two fighters who fought at 100 and 200. So if Miller can get to 300, UFC 300, he will be likely the only fighter to compete on all three of those cards. It's 2024, which will look like UFC 300 is going to take place. So I would say Jim Miller has a chance. I say the chance isn't as good as it would have been under the previous ownership group of the UFC, because we know Jim Miller was a favorite of Joe Silva, UFC matchmaker. These days, the UFC isn't interested so much in personal relationships as it is in making money. So I think with the change in ownership, Miller's chances increase. But I still think, you know, he's probably got a better than a 50-50 shot to fight at UFC 300. UFC Vegas 40, if I'm judging by social media interaction, it was not a much-watched card. And that is concerning. So my question here is, will fans, and more importantly ESPN, get tired of UFC cards that feel like content? This fight card felt like it was just a colored-in block on the ESPN content creation sheet, which it said, we need a UFC fight on ESPN Plus on October 16th, 2021, and fill it in. And because of that, I don't think it had a high viewership. I just did not get the feeling that a lot of people were tuning in. And one of the reasons is, this isn't the beginning of the pandemic where the UFC is one of the only sports running. The competition on Saturday was incredibly high. You had Bellator, you had MLB, you had NHL, you had college football. Pretty much everything was going on that could be on Saturday night. And I got the feeling that the UFC Vegas 40 card was an afterthought to many sports fans. And so these are the cards where you kind of get to think about how ESPN is going to look at it. If the fans aren't tuning in because it's content, it's quantity over quality, and there's other ways to spend their time, are these fight cards retaining ESPN Plus subscribers? And that's what they need to do for these cards. Are they retaining? But really, the ESPN is going to want them not to just retain, but to increase ESPN subscriptions, ESPN Plus subscriptions. If that's not happening, ESPN might put pressure on the UFC to deliver better quality fight cards. Can that happen? I don't know, just because of the sheer numbers. But for now, the UFC has been coasting along creating content rather than creating quality. And perhaps that time that fans and ESPN are going to keep accepting content over quality is coming to an end. At least I hope so. So what is Manon Fiort's upside? She looked good in her fight against Mary Buena Silva. But the problem was the 31-year-old French fighter was predictable. She threw a lot of volume, used a lot of combinations, but they were predictable and they became easy to time, and they would have been easy to counter had Silva had a better coaching staff or just been more aware of what her opponent was doing. So I think there's a decent upside here, but I'm very concerned about how she's going to be coached ahead of her next fight. So keep an eye on the next fight. She is still outside of the top 15 in the flyweight division. So I would say keep her outside of the top 15 in the flyweight division to see how she develops, see if a better, more skilled fighter can pick up her timing and her combinations and see if she makes adjustments. But for now, I would say that she has a decent upside, but the jury is pretty much still out on her. Is anyone okay with the compliance pay? And I think the answer to that is no. But what really stood out about UFC Vegas 40, and this is coming from the MMA Junkie story, I know Mike Bond has been very good at tracking these payouts. So he reported that UFC Vegas 40, Norma Dumont and Aspen Ladd made a combined $10,500 in the UFC promotional guidelines compliance pay. At least that's what the UFC is calling it. We will call it, you know, the uniform pay, because pretty much what it is. So for the total fight, it was $132,000. And we know in the past when fighters could get their own sponsorship deals and strike up their own deals and wear the sponsor in the cage and during fight week, that it was not unheard of that a single fighter could earn more than $132,000 for a weekend for a sponsor. That's not the case anymore. The UFC has kind of made that a non-factor, and now you get what you get. And what you get is, if you're Jim Miller, he of the 38 UFC fights is $21,000. If you're Andrei Arlovsky, former UFC heavyweight champion, another longtime veteran of the UFC, you get $21,000. If you're Eric Gonzalez, who got knocked out by Jim Miller and five other fighters on the event, you get paid $4,000, or six others. It was five or six other fighters. They got $4,000 in quote-unquote promotional guideline compliance pay or uniform pay. Just because this is the way it is right now doesn't mean it has to remain that way. UFC fighters, UFC fans, UFC media all need to be loud about this and point out the fact that the fighters are getting screwed and point out their dissatisfaction. And maybe pressure will create a change. Even if it's a little change, any kind of change is good. Any kind of change that puts a few more dollars in the UFC fighters' pockets is good. But for a main event between two fighters to get $10,500 in what would have been sponsorship pay, that stinks. For Jim Miller to get $21,000 after 38 fights in the UFC, that stinks. For Andrei Arlovsky to get $21,000, not acceptable. Just because it's the way it is doesn't mean we have to accept it, doesn't mean we have to be quiet about it. I would encourage everyone to speak up and put pressure on the UFC in this. The UFC compliance pay is not acceptable. There's no way to defend it. And with that, That's all I have for my five unanswered questions for UFC Vegas 40. I'll be back next week for I don't know how many unanswered questions. It'll all play out during the fight. So I will see you next week for this this edition of this particular piece of content. And until then, stay safe.